जयं सुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमान अभिचरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महराशील प्रभुपाद की जयं नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महराशील प्रभुपाद की आनंद कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायपुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्रील प्रभुपाद नमामश्वपदाय कृष्ण प्रसाद भूतलेश्वरी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीव गौरवाणी प्रजारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगं मामुद्धर भवार्णवात् श्रीमद्भागवताख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यदप्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वभाव प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयादितरतश्चार्थेक्षभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्म हृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सुरयाम् तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्जितकैतवोत्र परमो नर्मत्सराणां सतां वेद्यं वास्तवम् अत्र वस्तु शिवदं तावत्त्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यदेत्र कृतिभि शुश्रूषुभि तत्क्षणात् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलम् शुकमुखादमृतद्रव संयुतम् पिबदा भागवतम् रसमालयम् मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयम् नुमा यम् प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुपेतमपेतकृत्यम् द्वैपायनो विरहकातरमज्जुहाव पुत्रेति तन्मयतयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तम् सर्वभूतहृदयम् मुनिम् हानतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अतिदिदीर्षदाम् तमोऽन्धम् संसारिणाम् करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यम् तम् व्याससूनम् उपयामि गुरुम् मुनीनाम् नारायणम् नमस्कृत्य नरम् चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीम् सरस्वतीम् व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदातृदाननिन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भदा मुरारे मधुरीम् न कनिकापि कापि कापि नमाहोम् विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిన్ హిరి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశకారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః వందే నందవ్రజస్త్రీణం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశా యాసాం హరికతోద్గీతం పునాతి భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణా సముద్రం సహాయమతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాళయేశమనిశం హృది భావయామి కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణం శ్యామలోయం కుమారక వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ భాసదాం పురతో మమ మూకం కరోతి వాజాలం పంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. ఓం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. So, continuing from last Sunday when we were discussing Pipalayana Maharshi's words, what he spoke to King Nimi, and Pipalayana Maharshi explained what is meant by the word Narayana, what is Narayana means. Stitul bhava pralaya hedura hedurasya yal swapna jagara sushuptishu salbahischam దేహేంద్రియాసు హృదయాని చరంది ఏన సంజీవితాని తదవేహి వరం నరేంద్ర. దర్ ఇస్ ఇన్ 5 ఆర్ 6 వర్సెస్ హి ఎక్స్‌ప్లెయిన్స్ నైదన్ మనోమిషది వాగుద చక్షురాత్మా ప్రాణేంద్రియాని జయధానలమర్చిష స్వాహ శబ్దోపి భోదక నిషేధ దయాత్మమూలం అర్థోక్తమాహ యదృథే నిషేధ సిద్ధి సత్వం రజస్తమ ఇది త్రుదేగమాదౌ సూత్రం మహానహమిది ప్రవదంది జీవం జ్ఞానక్రియాథ బలరూపదయోరు శక్తి బ్రహ్మైవ భాది సదసచ్చదయో పరం యల్ ఆత్మాజానమరిషది నైధదేసౌ నక్షీయతే సవనవిద్వ్యభిచారిణాం హి సర్వత్ర శశ్వ అనబాయుపలబ్ధిమాత్రం ప్రాణో యదేంద్రియబలేన వికల్పితం సన్ అంధేషు పేషు తరుష వినిశ్చితేషు ప్రాణో హి జీవ ఉపధావతి తత్ర తత్ర సన్నే యదింద్రియగణే ఇంద్రియగణేహమిజ ప్రసూప్తే కూడస్థం ఆశయమృషే తదనుస్మృతిర్నాం యర్హ్యబ్జనాభచరణైషణయోరు భక్త్యా చేతోమలాని విధమే గుణకర్మజాని తస్మిన్ విశుద్ధముపలభ్యతమాత్మతత్వం సాక్షాత్ యథా అమరదృశో సవితృ ప్రకాశాం. సో దోస్ వర్సెస్ వర్ టు డిస్కస్ అబౌట్ what is Narayana. The word Narayana was explained in these few verses. And we have also seen that Pipalayana Maharshi said to King Nimi that realizing Krishna in these all three aspects, Krishna, Paramatma, Bhagavan and Krishna, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, Paramatma and Brahman, all these three things are explained in Pipalayana Maharshi's words to King Nimi. And at the end of that, he also said to King Nimi that only by devotion to Krishna, that your heart will get purified where this knowledge will be revealed. Otherwise not. Only by the purity of the chittam or purity of the consciousness. Only then this knowledge will be revealed to him. Not by any other means. తస్మిన్ విశుద్ధం ఉపలభ్యతం ఆత్మతత్వం ఆత్మతత్వం హూ ఐ యామ్ మై ఓన్ ఐడెంటిటీ విల్ బి నోన్ టు మీ తస్మిన్ విశుద్ధం ఉపలభ్యతం ఆత్మతత్వం ఆత్మతత్వం విల్ బి నోన్ టు యూ వెన్ Sakshat Yatha Amaladrisho Savitra Prakasham. That when the darkness or the clouds that goes away from the consciousness and the consciousness is clear from any impurities, at that time this will be known to you. This is how Pipalaya Maharshi concluded that conversation with King Nimi. As I mentioned before, that understanding Ekadasha Skandam and also even Bhagavad Gita, there are two ways of studying this literature, Bhagavad Gita as well as Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly Bhagavad Gita as well as this Ekadasha Skandam. The difference is, one is known as Vachyartham. In the Shastram, these things are explained a lot more in detail. All the Acharyas have spoken about it. Vachyartham and Lakshyartham, it calls. Vachyartham means to study the verse, understand, analyze it in different ways, and to know the translation of the verse, what Krishna has spoken, and to know the meaning of the verse, and analyzing in that way. This is what is done in the universities and all that. This is what they do. But Lakshyartham is more important, because Lakshyartham is the one, whatever knowledge Krishna has spoken through Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, when that knowledge is experienced by the consciousness of the living entity, that is the Lakshyartham. That is the goal. That is Lakshyartham. It is called Lakshyartham. So Vachyartham and Lakshyartham are two different things. Vachyartham is what most of the people do. They try to study Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam in that way, and they try to understand the translation of the words, word by word, meaning and purport, everything. But Lakshyartham may not get there. Lakshyartham is not there. Only the Vachyartham or the verbal meaning of the verse is in their head, but it has not been revealed to them yet. Lakshyartham has not got there. So this Lakshyartham is the one, what is the goal of every studying of all the Vedic literature. Upanishads also the same thing is spoken. Lakshyartham is more important. Vachyartham you can easily, studying the language, even studying Sanskrit, one will get to know how to break up the verses and how to understand the literal meaning of the verse. But Vachyartham does not bring you to self-realization. It is a Lakshyartham that brings a person to self-realization. Therefore, while hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly Ekadasha Skandam, it is important to know that we have to leave behind our mind and intelligence. If you try to understand through mind and intelligence, you will not understand Ekadasha Skandam. You will not understand Ekadasha Skandam. Reason is this, that a conditioned nature of the soul is such that as soon as some information is fed into the person, immediately he wants to capture it with the mind or capture it with the intelligence and bring it under its control, under control of mind and intelligence. But this knowledge what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava, or in the Ekadasha Skandam knowledge what the Nimi Maharaj was hearing from the realized souls like the nine yogis, they are beyond our capacity to absorb within our mind and intelligence. With our mind and intelligence, you cannot capture that, because the knowledge is such that it is beyond the mind, beyond the senses, beyond the intelligence. Therefore, it is called as the transcendental knowledge. And this knowledge can come only with the mercy of Krishna. With the mercy of Krishna's mercy alone, this knowledge has to come to a person. This knowledge has to be realized by the person. That is why it's so important that when we discuss Bhagavatam, if you have not understood these verses, or their explanations from the Bhagavatam, if it is not understood, you don't have to blame anyone. Because we are trying to understand it through our mind and intelligence. And this mind and intelligence cannot reach that level of understanding the science of the soul. The soul is above these things. Including the mind and intelligence is functioning because of the presence of the soul. And Eto vaja nivartande aprapya manasasaha, it says in the Upanishads. That even aprapyam, it is not reachable for the mind, reachable for the intelligence. And particularly what to speak about us who have gone through this modern education system where everything is in the grasp of this so-called intelligence. The sages did not want us that way, or not want our mind to be conditioned in that way, or our intelligence conditioned in that way. Because what happens is, it gets into the trap of the intelligence.
intelligence is all a fixed knowledge. Fixed knowledge means it can only see the matter and analyze the matter. It can only analyze the matter. And that is how our education system also. It analyzes the matter. And matter is only matter when it is analyzed by the intelligence. If the answers are falling into the in a fixed level, on a fixed way to the intelligence, intelligence accepts that and intelligence feels a success in that. Intelligence feels a success in that. This is exactly what the sages didn't want us to have. Therefore, you will see in the Bhagavatam and in other places also, certain things are spoken in such a way. Take for example, Bhagavad Gita also, you will see the same thing there. That Sarvendriya Gunabhasam, in the 13th chapter, if you take, you will see some extraordinary explanation from Krishna about the yoga of the Supreme, or the nature, the enjoyer and the consciousness. In that verse text 14, Krishna says, Sarvada Pani Vadam Dal Sarvadokshiromukham Sarvada Shudimaloge Sarvam Avrutyatishtari Sarvada Pani Vadam Dal Sarvadokshiromukham Sarvada Shudimaloge Sarvam Avrutyatishtari. Krishna says, Sarvada Pani Vadam Dal. Krishna's hands and legs are everywhere. Pani Vadam Dal Sarvada. And then Sarvadokshiromukham. Everywhere his eyes and ears everywhere. Shiromukha and the face also, and the head everywhere. And Sarvada Shudimal Loge, Sarvam Avritya Dishtari. And he covers everything and everything. And in this way, Krishna exists. Super soul exists, in other words. The super soul exists. Krishna says like that. Purusha Suktam prayers, if you take and look at it, you will find there something interesting that. It says there that Sahasra Shirsha Purusha Sahasraksha Sahasraval Sahasra Shirsha. He has got in the Virat Sarubam, or in that form of Krishna, in the Virat form, he says Sahasra Shirsha. He has got thousands of heads. Sahasraksha. He has got thousand eyes. Then you can ask the question, if one has 1,000 heads, he should have 2,000 eyes, isn't it? But Bhagavad Gita is saying that Krishna has got only one eye. Is that what it means? This is what is the beauty of the Vedic way of thinking. They do not want your mind or intelligence stuck in some fixed idea. Because if it gets fixed idea, then it cannot progress spiritually. It is not possible. So many things you will see in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, statements which you cannot absorb. Why? The intelligence is resisting that. Intelligence is resisting that. And that is where the difficulty is. Therefore, you take for Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself, you may think Krishna is contradicting. Very next verse, Krishna says, Sarvendriya Gunabhasam, Sarvendriya Vivarjidam, Asaktam Sarvabhakchaiva, Nitvargunam, Gunabhoktrajam, Sarvendriya Gunabhasam, Sarvendriya Vivarjidam. In the last verse, the verse said, he has got eyes and ears everywhere. And in the next verse, it says, he has no senses. Exactly oppositely what was spoken in the previous verse. Sarvendriya gunabhasam sarvendriya vivarjidam asaktam sarvabhakchaiva nirgunam gunabhoktrajam nirgunam gunabhoktraja. He has no qualities, no material qualities, means that three modes of material nature has nothing to do with him. But he is in all the modes of nature. He says there, at the same time, he transcends the modes of nature and he is the master of all the modes of nature. Similarly, Bahirandascha Bhudanam Ajaram Charamevacha Sushmatvata Avijnayam Durastam Chandigejadal. Sushmatvadu Avijnayam, because of the Sushmam. Sushmam means extremely, it is subtle. It is extremely subtle. And therefore, Sushmatvadu Avijnayam, it is very difficult to know him. And Durastam Chandigejadal. Although he is far, far away from us, he is closest to us. How does it is saying like this and it is saying like that also. So this is where the difficulty is. Then, therefore, we'll come to that when Karavajana Maharshi, when the next sage who is talking about that, Avihotra Maharshi will talk about this. that parokshavado vedoyam balana manushasanam. Vedic literature was spoken in paroksham. Everything is spoken in paroksham. Paroksham means indirectly. Indirectly it was spoken. Why? Because balanam anushasanam, balanam, for children, mother Veda, Vedic mother, she thinks that we are children. And the children has to be developed in a particular way, who have come to the spiritual life. So throughout Vedic history, throughout Vedic literature, you will find this way of presenting things. This is very special with the Vedic literature. Very special with the Vedic literature. The whole purpose of saying this is that not to get trapped in the intelligence, in the intellectual way of looking at things. And that is why often when we come to Ekadasha Skandam particularly, you will find a great difficulty there. Many, many things what Krishna has spoken, we will subject to our intelligence to understand that. We want to capture it with our intelligence because that's what we have done throughout life, isn't it? And there we will fail. We will fail there. It will not go further. It will not go further. What happens is normally that all the knowledge we say we store in the head, isn't it? We store in the head with our brain. We want to understand. And similarly, the yogis also, when it comes to their different chakras, and eventually it comes to Sahasrara Padma. Sahasrara Padma is just before the Brahmarandram, before the soul leaves the body. So they bring the soul all the way up there, and through Brahmarandram they release it at the time of when the yogis wants to leave the body. So all those things are there. So naturally, our thinking is always in relationship with the head. With the head we want to understand everything. But Krishna doesn't sit in the head. Krishna sits in the heart. And because it is like that, Krishna's position is in the heart, it is there the realization has to happen. Not here. This realization is only limited. But this realization is the proper realization, complete realization. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that why important it is, the change of heart is necessary. And that realization from the heart is what we are trying to understand. And as we said before, that this can only come when Krishna wants that to happen. Krishna wants that to happen. Otherwise, our normal tendency is to understand by intelligence. Intelligence cannot get there. Intelligence cannot reach that point. So therefore, that's why it said, yato vaja nivartande aprapya manasa saha. But nor by mind, nor by words, nothing, you can't get there. It is by Krishna's mercy you understand this knowledge of Ekadasha Skandam. So Ekadasha Skandam is very special in that way. So whenever we don't understand, when we hear, we sometimes understand, it is not the fault of Ekadasha Skandam. It is our way of studying it and our way of trying to understand it. That's where things are going wrong. That Sushmatvam. Why Krishna says Sushmatvam? Sushmatvam means extremely subtle it is. And that subtle knowledge won't come in that way. Subtle knowledge cannot come in that way through intelligence. Intelligence can only apply to gross matter. And those things you can use your intelligence and apply that. But this knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is subtle knowledge. Very, very subtle. And therefore, Sushmatvam, Krishna says, and therefore we need that mercy from Krishna and the spiritual master's mercy that comes through that. So, we have seen earlier that these verses Pipalayana Maharshi has spoken to King Nimi were all of very subtle nature. Very, very subtle nature. We discussed that. Each one of them, how he presented Krishna to King Nimi. It's a very extraordinary way of presenting Krishna. Now, we have not used to that way of presenting Krishna. But Pipalayana Maharshi, when he spoke to Krishna, he mentioned to him that Krishna's presence, my dear king, you should know like this, he says to him. You should know Krishna's presence like this. How? In that 5-6 verses which we went through in the last many days, many Sundays. So now we are coming to another aspect in the Bhagavatam itself. You will see another way of expressing the same thing. Another way of expressing the same thing. If you look in the 13th chapter also, Krishna will speak in the same way, in a very difficult way. Krishna says there in the 13th chapter, Yavan nanarthadi pum nanarthadihi pumso na nivarteda yuktibhihi jagartyabhi sopannatnyaha sopne jagaranam yatha. Very important verse. Yavan nanarthadihi pumso na nivarteda yuktibhihi jagartyabhi svanatnyaha svapne jagaranam yatha. Svapne jagaranam yatha. Now, let's see what it says. We will connect that with these Pipalayana Maharshi's words, how these are connected, interconnected. Ekadasi skandam, there is only one topic, the science of the soul, nothing else. How the soul moves, how the soul functions, what the soul's activities are, and relationship with the soul and the rest of us. Rest of us means the body, mind and the intelligence, false ego and things like that. So the soul behind everything, as Piparayana Maharshi said, behind everything is the witness, silent witness. And here Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Yavan Nanarthadi Pumsa. Nanarthadi. Nanartha means this whole material creation, how we perceive this. This whole material creation. We perceive this material creation how? As different objects, isn't it? Different matter. Different matter. That is what it is. This whole creation. The mind, by nature, has a tendency to go towards matter all the time. It will always go into matter. That is the nature of the mind. That's why mind is material always, because of its nature. So it goes into matter, and it is always absorbed in matter. Mind is always absorbed in matter. The result of this absorption in the matter is this, nanarthadhi. Nanarthadhi means that they will see this varieties in this. They will not see Krishna behind it. In other words, Krishna's presence in that they will not see. Rather, they will see this manifested form in this creation, and they will start analyzing this all the time. Imagine the mind, 24, as long as it is awakened condition or in the Jagrat state, what does it do? All it is absorbed in analyzing this matter, material world, isn't it? So this material world is nanarthadhi. Krishna calls it as nanarthadhi. It is a display of things which has come from the origin, from Krishna's Brahman or whatever we call it. From there, this material world has come out. And so long as dhi means intelligence, when the dhi, intelligence, is absorbed in these varieties of things in this world, you know what Krishna says in the next line? He says, as long as this is absorbed in that way, and a person does not come out of it, na nivarteta yuktibhi, by his deeper understanding or by his subtle understanding, he penetrates into that and see deeply into it who is behind it, and see me in there, or Krishna's manifestation in that, what will happen? He says, jagartyabhi sopannatyaha. He is woken up, but he is in a dream state, he says. He is woken up. He is in Jagrat state. Jagartyabhi, but Sovan Ajnaha. He is Swapnam. He is in Swapnam. He is in dream. And he is Ajnan. He is ignorant also. Krishna says this. Jagartyabhi Sovan Ajnaha. Exactly like Krishna says, Swapne Jagaranam Yatha. Just like in the Swapnam state, how you are woken up. Just like that. Give an example. Swapne Jagaranam Yatha. A person wants to get up early in the morning, go to his office, say for example, just to go to, he has to go to office for some particular reason on some particular day in the early hours in the morning. So he keeps his alarm to wake up at say 4 o'clock, and the alarm rings, and he has thought about waking up in the morning, and he has gone to sleep in the night, thinking about waking up at 4 o'clock when the alarm rings. But sometimes what happens is, you wake up at 4 o'clock, the alarm rang, but you don't get up. You are in the dream state. You are going through a dream. And in the dream, you are saying, I got up, I brushed my teeth, I bathed, and I've gone to office. And I'm dreaming still here. What I was thinking in the night, before I went to bed, what I was planning to do in the morning, that has happened to me in the dream at that same time at 4 o'clock. So instead of getting up and getting dressed and going, nothing happened. He went to sleep, got up in the dream world. He himself, as I mentioned before, he himself expanded there. And what exactly he has done? He got up, he brushed his teeth, went to the bathroom, finished all the business, got bathed himself, got dressed, and went to the office. He's going to office. So he's sleeping and he's dreaming this. What will happen to him? About 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the normal time, he gets up. I'm sure many of you may have had this experience. A lot of people had this experience. Many people, almost all, had this, who had gone through this, who had experienced dream. If somebody says, I haven't had this dream before, then there's nothing I can say about it. But but this is how the nature of the mind is. So Krishna is saying here, just like in Swapnam, in the dream state, how you are working like a Jagrat. How you are working like as though you are in vacant state. You are acting, you are got up, you have done everything and you are done, gone. But you are still dreaming. Krishna says it's exactly like that. You are really you are woken up, but you are in the dream world. So if I say this, it is very difficult to understand all this, isn't it? It is difficult. Because, as I said mentioned before, that our mind and intelligence wants to capture it. It won't capture it because these are experiences of a person. The experiences of a person. Just like sometimes people say, they have asked also to Srila Prabhupada sometimes, have you seen God? Have you seen Krishna? This kind of question. This question has no meaning. Because the experience in a liberated person or a personality who are advanced in spiritual life, it is his experience. That cannot, you cannot experience that because you haven't reached that state. And there is, so you have to accept what he says. You have no other choice in there. You have no other choice in there. If you say to him, look, if you have seen Krishna, show him to me. This is how the scientists will ask. They'll say, you have seen him, haven't you? So you show it to me then. So the difficulty is that these things are understood or realized by a person at a certain time in life. And in his own way and through his process of spiritual life. So unless he wants to that, Krishna is saying here, Yavannanarthadipumsa nanivarte da yuktibhi. Why he should understand this through knowledge, Krishna says. Through yukti, through logic he should understand this, how this happens. If you don't understand this, Krishna says, what will happen? Jagartyabhi svapan ajnaha. He is woken up, but he is ignorant and he is in dream. He is woken up, he is moving around in this world like a realized soul. But he is dreaming, Krishna says. Jagartyabhi svapan, he is in svapnam, he is in a dream state. Why? He is not conscious of his own identity. What is the point? That he is saying, Krishna is saying. What is the point if you have not realized your identity? Whatever you are doing otherwise, without knowing your own self-identity, what you are, actually what is known as a self-realization, Krishna is saying here, Jagartyabhi svapan ajnaha. He is ajnan, he is ignorant, and he is dreaming. And that is why all his daily plans are, all these dreams, what he is making in his mind. What is the use of that? Krishna is saying there, Jagartyabhi svapan ajnaha, svapne jagaranam yatha. Exactly like in the dream state, as you feel as though you have woken up and you have done so many things. Dream state is a very interesting state. Much more interesting it is the sushupti, the deep sleep state. All these states, what all we do, what all we create. Just like I mentioned before, that we went to a festival. Say for example, you went to a festival, a big festival somewhere. You come back and in the sleep, the whole festival comes to you in the sleep. The whole festival comes to you in the dream. So, at that time, who is creating all that? It is the soul who does that. The same me, the person inside, I am expanding into the form of everything that was present in the festival. The soul expands that, takes that different forms. And I myself sit there and as a witness and watch the same thing. Just see the potency of the soul. The soul is capable of doing all these things. Soul can create these things. Soul can create the whole thing in the dream state. And can create everything in the dream state. Whatever you have experienced during the festival. So you went to any festival, anywhere. So in the festival, you have seen thousands of people there. And thousands of elephants or thousands of chariots. And a lot of people playing drums, music. Prasadam being fed. Somebody is serving prasadam. Somebody is taking prasadam. All sorts of things, what you see in a huge festival, you can create in your own dream. If it comes to you, Who is creating that? Where did that all come? And that is the capacity of the soul. Ability to create all these things through the thing called the mind. Through the thing called the mind. So, in this dream state, the mind which is active, mind which is very active, through this mind only it creates all these things for us. The soul is capable of doing that. So, the mind allows all these things to happen. And when we see all that, we are amazed that how this could happen. And when you wake up again from that, you just ignore it, isn't it? Thinking, oh, it was just a dream, leave it. Why worry about it? But that is when we have to put our thoughts more into it and to see that how powerful the nature of that Krishna's part and parcel sitting inside, who is able to create this situation for us. Able to create this situation for us. We only worry about this vacant state, but these two other two states also, Krishna is saying here, are equally important. In fact, more important than the vacant state, what happens. So, you will see there, the same thing Krishna explained a little more later in the same chapter. He said, how does that happen? He explains that. Icheda vibhramamidam manaso vilasam drishtam vinashtam adilolam alada chakram. Alada chakram is the word Krishna uses there. Icheda vibhramamidam manaso vilasam. Everything, when we experience in the jagra or in the vacant state, it creates vibhramam. Vibhramam means a kind of perplexity for us. Vibhramamidam. And Krishna says it is nothing but manaso vilasam. It is the way the mind functions. Manaso vilasam. And drishtam vinashtam adilolam alada chakram. It also has this drishtam vinashtam. Drishtam vinashtam. That it can create, it can destroy also in the same way. It can create and it can destroy also in the same way. And gives the example as adilolam alada chakram. Alada chakram means actually when you have say firewood, if you have a piece of wood and it has caught fire, it is burning, and you are holding on to one end of that and you are moving it in the air in different ways. So the way you move that firewood which is burning, accordingly the fire will take the shape in the same way. One who is far away looking at it will experience that in the form of fire that's coming out from there. He will get a glimpse of that and he will see how he takes the different shapes. Mashtam vinashtam adilolam alada chakram. And that is what it is, alada chakram. And this thing called mind is exactly like that. Mind is exactly like that. As I said before, we have seen before, Pipalayana Maharshi's words, that you have the soul inside, which is like the projector, a cinema projector. It's inside. In front of that, our karma vasana is rotating there. Karma vasana is rotating, like the film reel in front of the projector. It's rotating. Constantly it's rotating. And then there is a lens outside, which is our senses. And through this lens, it's coming out and it is reflecting on the screen, isn't it? On the cinema screen, everything comes out and it displays the whole thing on the cinema screen. So here, you can see the screen is constant. Depending on the film, what is the reel of the film, what is continuously revolving, we get everything on the screen, exactly the way the film is presented. So the impact of the film is such that when the projector projects the light through that film, it comes through the lenses and on the screen it creates everything what you wanted. All sorts of things, whatever you witness in a film, all is seen on the screen, isn't it? So there you can see that this film that is rotating is presenting to you the film on the screen, but with the help of the projector from behind, isn't it? The soul. Similarly, what does a soul do? Manaso vilasa chakram, Krishna says here. Alada chakram is manaso vilasam, he says. What does this manaso vilasam means? Manasa or mind is nothing but our vasanas inside. Our vasanas which has come to us from our previous activities in different lifetimes. That has followed us in the form of vasanas. And that vasanas are inside us. And these vasanas, is continuously rotating, like the film reel. It's rotating inside. And the soul is projecting through that, and it comes through the senses, and that is what we are experiencing in the world outside, in the external world. So that is the best comparison you can think of, the cinema projector and the soul inside. So long as these vasanas are good or bad, accordingly our activities in the world also will be good or bad. It will depend on that, on the vasanas inside. That is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when you look there, you will see that the seventh canto of Bhagavatam is directed to this one topic called karma vasana. Karma vasana. Vedavyasa Maharshi took special interest to insist on this point called karma vasana. Karma vasana means how important. There are two types of vasana, shubha vasana and ashubha vasana. Shubha vasana means auspicious. Good vasanas generates from that. Ashubha vasana means inauspicious things that comes into us. So these two different kinds of vasanas is what is spoken in the seventh canto. Prahlad's story is there. It's only to show it to us. Even though they took birth in a demoniac family, just to show the power of vasanas. That is why seventh canto is called Uti. Uti means karma vasana. Why it is called Uti? Uti, Uti is this. Uti means yatra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanam utaya manyundaram ishanukatha nirodho mukti ashrayaha. These are the 10 characteristics of the Mahapuranam or Srimad Bhagavatam for that matter, beginning from the third canto onwards. Sargam is third canto, visargam is the fourth canto, sthanam is the fifth canto, poshanam is the sixth canto, and Uti is the seventh canto. Uti is the seventh canto. So why was the name Uti given there? There must be a specific reason why Uti has come into seventh canto, because the story of Prahlada is there. That's why. Because Prahlada, look at his background, Hiranyakashipu's son. The association he had was Shandamarka and those people like that. Hiranyakashipu's association means you can imagine what that will be like. And a child who was born in that family is exhibiting the greatest devotional qualities. Imagine that. That he has got the highest devotion. In fact, when you refer to Srimad Bhagavatam, if there is one devotee whom you can say is perfect in everything, that is Prahlada. Because purely talking about Uddhava, Gopis and all, they are all on the rasa level. On a rasika level, they are very high. But as a devotee, purely as a servant of Krishna, who is the highest? Prahlada is the highest. And where did this come to Prahlada? Karma vasana. This vasana that was inside was that most powerful thing which was pushing Prahlada against everything what was around him. What was around him. That is the power of vasana. So this is why it is said, if the vasanas are good or create good vasanas in a person, then the soul will go through those vasanas, through the senses which are the lens, and all its activities will be very auspicious, very Krishna conscious, in other words. Krishna conscious activities will come from that person. He is pure because of the pure vasanas inside. But when you find impure vasanas coming through, you can see when people are engaged, generally speaking, you will see people have a lot of desire to control others, lot of desire to establish their superiority over others. All these qualities are not spiritual. They are not spiritual. They have to lord it over, or to, once the question was asked, that if Vedic culture was so advanced, why did they not control the whole world? This question was coming up often. The answer to that is this, that if someone is advanced in culture, only barbarians will go and attack others and control them. It's the barbarians and savages who do that, not cultured people. Cultured people have no interest in that because their realizations are different. Culture is not for conquering others and to control others and bring them under your feet. That lording it over the material nature, lording it over others, is purely rajogunam and tamogunam. Therefore, a devotee who is advancing on the spiritual path or who has higher understanding in spiritual life from Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, He would not like to control others. That controlling nature will go from him. Because it is seeing, realizing that Krishna is present in other living entities. And when the realization gets deeper, he cannot separate Krishna from other living entities in any way. You cannot see them in a different way. So therefore, he will not be suitable for controlling others or controlling their other's life in any way. That is purely Rajogunam and Tamogunam. That's where it is coming from. So Krishna, this Prahlad Maharaj story is also to prove it to us that the karma vasana is a powerful thing. So when these vasanas are going through our consciousness, in other words, our chittam or the mind, as we know, that satta chitta anandam, isn't it? Sachidanandam is the, that is how we define the soul, isn't it? Sachidanandam. Satta chitta and anandam is the nature of the soul. Out of these three, the chitta is more important. We have discussed this before, isn't it? Why chitta is more important? Sat is the eternity aspect of the soul. Anandam is the blissful nature of the soul. But all these things are experienced only with the presence of chitta. Chitta is the whole thing behind it. So chitta is that thing through which you experience everything. For example, how do I know I exist? Because the presence of that chit shakti. Chit shakti is telling me. And that is coming from the soul. That is coming from the soul. Sat aspect, chit aspect, and the anandam aspect, sachidanandam aspect, all come from the soul. From the soul. Particularly this chit shakti is through which we realize the spirituality. Spiritual realization comes through chit shakti. It is through chit shakti's capacity that we realize many things. Not by intelligence. Not by intelligence. Intelligence and mind cannot touch Ekadasha Skandam. Intelligence and mind cannot touch Ekadasha Skandam. It is chit shakti that gives us the realization of Ekadasham. Or even Bhagavad Gita for that matter. Vachyartham you can understand, but Lakshyartham you won't understand. This is what the point is. Vachyartham means you can analyze everything, study the verses, break it up into pieces, into words and meanings and all that, and analyze it from different angles. That is all Vachyartham. That is no use. That is only to teach somebody else. Again, you can teach someone else. That's all. But that is not realization. That's not realized knowledge. Realized knowledge is Lakshyartham. If you remember, what did Vidura says about Uddhava? When Uddhava came to Vrindavanam and Vidura met him in Vrindavanam just before Uddhava was going to Badrinath. That meeting is discussed in the third canto, isn't it? There, Vidura was saying about Uddhava. What was he saying? Purnartha lakshidastena sneha prasarasam pluda. Look at that words what he has used. Purnartha lakshidastena. That Uddhava was seen by Vidura as though the whole Vedic knowledge is realized there. In the realized form, he was seeing Uddhava there. Purnartham, the whole essence of Vedic purport, Vedic knowledge. Lakshida Sena Sneha Prasara Sampluda. When he saw Uddhava, that is what he saw. Who? Vidura. This is what he saw. When he saw Uddhava in Vidura's mind, this is what came to him. Purnartha Lakshidastena Sneha Prasara Sampluda. That he did not see Uddhava's hands, legs and head and body. This is how he explains in the Bhagavadam. In other words, Uddhava, Vidura saw there a personality standing, totally a realized personality, completely in total Krishna consciousness. This is what he was seeing there. Just imagine that we have no vision to see that. Because we are working with our mind and intelligence still. We want to find out what does that mean. Vidura has already said, I have seen like this. What will we say? What should we say? We will say, explain to me so that I can understand what it means. This is what we will do with this. And that we cannot understand. Because Purnartha Lakshidasnena Sneha Prasara Sambhluda. That only Vidura could understand. Because Vidura was seeing something different. We couldn't see that. Vidura could see that. So like this in the Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly in the Ekadasha Skandam, when we come to that, this one point, we have to always keep it in our mind. If you have not understood something, we just leave it. Don't try to understand with the mind and intelligence. Mind and intelligence cannot get hold of it. It cannot. It comes at a time when Krishna wants that to happen. It will happen. That is the beauty of Ekadasham. The beauty of Ekadasham Skandam is this, that it is something which will not happen by our effort. Our effort has no, it is not allowed to go into that boundary. It is beyond than that. So here you will see that when Krishna was saying this, in the Bhagavatam you will notice that Yahyab Janava Charanai Shanayoru Bhaktiyam, that Krishna consciousness, cultivate Krishna consciousness. Vipalayana Maharshi says there, Yahyab Janava Charanai Shanayoru Bhaktiyam, that only by bhakti, Krishna says, he says here, that this knowledge will come to him. Then, now, if you, again going back to the same example, suppose this light is projecting through the film reel, through the lenses, to the screen. Suppose you take the film reel out, what will happen? The light will straight away go through the lens onto the screen, and all you will find is the light only, isn't it? You will only see the light there, because there is no film in front of the projector. The film is gone. Similarly, if all the vasanas have gone from inside, all our vasanas have gone from inside, what will happen? That is what is called the realized state of the soul. The soul in its pure nature, satyam, satta, chitta and anandam only exist at that time. Nothing else exists in the soul. The soul is released from all its vasanas. It's the vasanas that was covering up. And it is through these vasanas that we are experiencing the material life, material world, material activities. Our ragam, devasham, kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, malsaryam, madam, everything has come through these vasanas only. Once they all gone, the soul, exactly like the projector, it leaves the light through. Similarly, the soul comes through very strongly through its senses or the lens. And what you will see in this world, what the soul experiences at that time is different than a conditioned soul, what it sees here. And a conditioned soul, what it sees here. So you can see that through this understanding what Krishna has spoken, you can know that in a realized state, what it will be like. Some glimpse of that you can experience. This differentiation between the mind, the body, the intelligence, the false ego, the senses and the soul is necessary, is very necessary. Because otherwise we lump everything into one, thinking that I am that. And what I am, I completely ignored that. I've taken everything else together, mind, intelligence, false ego, senses, body, everything. And I identify with that. The result of that is I have to repeated births and deaths have to follow from there. So this is why it is spoken like this. So once the vasanas goes away from inside, particularly the ashubha vasana, inauspicious ones, the vasanas goes inside, then everything what is experienced in this world is Krishna's presence. We see Krishna there in everything, every living entity. It is bound to happen because all other living entities are also Krishna's part and parcel. So that realization has to come. Today we are not seeing that. We are not seeing that. Once it so happened, one person once asked this, said first, he was hearing this Ekadasha Skandam. And he said that, I cannot understand anything, he said. Everything that's been spoken is very difficult to understand, he said. He was trying very hard to understand, he couldn't understand anything. But after some time, he started, now I understand, he said. He said, now I understand everything. So somebody went up to him and said to him, what have you understood now? He said, you were saying all this time you could not understand anything, but now you are saying you have understood everything. He says, now I have understood that I cannot understand anything, he said. This is what he understood. That was his answer. He said, now I have understood that I cannot understand anything. This is what I understood. So we also have to keep this in our mind. And that if we have not understood this, Ekadasha Skandam, you have to take it that way. That I haven't got the capacity, I haven't got the qualification to understand it. And therefore, I have to leave it for the moment. But that does not mean it will never happen. Right at this point in time, I could not understand. That's the way we have to take it. that similarly, so this is an important thing, that while studying Ekadasha Skandam, our nature is always to capture the knowledge what Krishna has given to Uddhava through our mind and intelligence. Imagine, Uddhava had to wait 12 years to get this from Krishna. 112 years he waited. And that too, Krishna decided at the last minute, before leaving from this planet, what more else do I have to leave in this world to for those who want to come back to me later? This was in his mind when he spoke Ekadasha Skandam. That you will see there in Ekadasha Skandam when Uddhava was pleading to Krishna to give that understanding. So with a lot of careful considerations, Krishna has decided to speak Ekadasham. And when he spoke to Uddhava Ekadasham, exactly like Arjuna, Uddhava had similar doubts also. Like in Bhagavad Gita also, you will see, there are three or four different kinds of personalities there, isn't it? Dhritarashtra heard also everything, but not one word Dhritarashtra understood, did he? He didn't understand anything. He also heard Bhagavad Gita, but he didn't understand one word. Arjuna understood something, therefore he was asking some questions at least. But who understood completely Bhagavad Gita properly? Hanuman understood Bhagavad Gita properly, because if you remember, Hanuman used to sit there on the flag of Arjuna and he was hearing Bhagavad Gita. He had to listen only once Bhagavad Gita. He understood everything. Therefore, Hanuman's commentary, Anjaneya Swami's commentary on Bhagavad Gita is popular, but it didn't exist very long. It was proper understanding of Bhagavad Gita. So, three kinds of people you can see there, even in Bhagavad Gita. The best was Anjaneya Swami, Hanumanji, who realized everything straight away. Only Krishna had to speak Bhagavad Gita once, everything was understood by Hanumanji without a question. Arjuna had questions, asked questions, understood certain things. And eventually, Krishna helped him to get to that stage. Dhritarashtra heard everything, not one word went inside. After everything was over, he is still asking, what has happened to my son Duryodhana? What will happen to him? What is the point in hearing Bhagavad Gita like this? Ultimately, if you are going back and asking, what has happened to my son? If you understood from Bhagavad Gita, then what was the point in hearing Bhagavad Gita? Nothing has happened. So, similarly, in Srimad Bhagavatam also, you will see the same thing. Parikshit heard Bhagavatam. Parikshit understood. It took only 7 days. He understood everything what Sukadeva Goswami spoke. Vedavyasa Maharshi heard Bhagavatam, did not understand as much as Parikshit has understood. Why? The qualification wasn't there as much as Parikshit had. Similarly, again, Shaunaka Rishi heard Bhagavatam, much to a lesser degree from Sukadeva Goswami, and the understanding was lesser. Therefore, this qualification is an important thing for the persons who hear and the person who speak. Both are equally important. But coming back to these verses in the Bhagavatam, important thing to note is this, that that Krishna is making some statements here in these chapters, which are very, very hard for us to even to bring it into our understanding. It is very difficult. Krishna gives the example that Yavan nanartha dipumsa, this nanartham, how did this has come to me? How have I come to this state of existence where I am seeing everything different? Nowhere I am seeing Krishna. How come this has happened to me? And Krishna says there, yado yavan nanartha dipumsa, by yuktibhi, na nivarteda yuktibhi, if you do not come out of this by yukti, by logic. Logic means by reasoning and by the knowledge what Krishna has given in Ekadasha Skandam. He will give examples after this, many more examples to understand this. And there are other literature also to support this. This Srimad Bhagavatam, as you know, is the essence of all the Vedic literature. Particularly Brahma Sutram commentary this is. In other words, Vedanta Sutram's commentary is this. So, because it's a commentary, it is very much in the condensed form. It is spoken here. So, to know many things in Bhagavatam, it will be much more helpful for those who have studied Upanishads and Vedas in depth. they will understand it much deeper, in a deeper level than what we will understand. Because for them, this subject is much more serious thing than what we think it is. We think it is some verses Krishna has spoken, I will mug it up these verses and I will repeat it to others and I preach to him, I changed him. This is what we will think about it. But it is not that simple. This is the most important point. To understand these verses, Krishna was spoken to Uddhava. That is why so many commentaries have come upon Bhagavatam. Why did so many people write so many commentaries on Bhagavatam? Because of this reason. That it is not easily understood by the intelligence or the mind or by our literary pursuits. Not by knowledge. Not by the knowledge of the Shastram. Not by intelligence. You can understand Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Famous verse. Mahaprabhu spoke this to, I think it was spoken to Ramananda Roy when he was in the conversation. He said that, what did he say? He said, nor by intelligence, I forget the verse, nor by intelligence, nor by mind, you can understand Bhagavatam. Bhaktyaham, bhaktyaham eva grahyam. Only by bhakti, you will understand Bhagavatam, he said. Na vilpatya, na tigaya, not by the commentaries, not by your vilpatti. Vilpatti means your knowledge of the Shastram, or the language, or whatever. That knowledge won't help, nor by the commentaries will help. Only by bhakti you will understand. This is what Mahaprabhu was pointing out. This one important point. So when we take Srimad Bhagavatam in our hand, we have to realize what we are dealing with. We are not dealing with an ordinary mundane literature. It is Krishna. We talk about this all the time, isn't it? Srimad Bhagavadakhyoyam Pratyaksha Krishna Mevahi. Pratyaksha Krishna. Krishna is directly present in front of you in words, in these letters in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, we should not simplify it, think that it is something I have understood. There is no time we will understand the Srimad Bhagavatam properly. There is no time. It is not an easy thing to understand. And therefore, Krishna says there that yavannanartha dipum sam nani pumsa means a purusha or man nani varte rayukti bhim. That if he does not come out of this, out of his vision of this world, as nanartham, distributed in many, many pieces, in many forms and many names under which this whole creation exists. As long as you are absorbed in that, Krishna says, jagartyabhi subhanya. He is in Jagrat state. All of us, including the scientists, who think they are very highly intelligent, isn't it? They are thinking highly intelligent, but Krishna is saying they are not. They are people, jagartyabhi sobhannanya. They are woken, they are in dream still, although they are in vacant state. Sopne jagaranam yatha. Just like in the dream state, how they were experiencing the vacant state. Exactly like that, in the vacant state, they are experiencing the dream state. They are experiencing the dream state. So, important point is, what Krishna is saying here is, that thing called chit, the knowledge inside, that knowledge is manifesting in a person all the time. We are not able to take notice of it. Krishna says, take note of that first. Well, how does it manifest in us? The chit energy, or the chit shakti, as it is called, is manifesting in us in the form in three levels. In Jagrat, Sopnam and Sushupti, in all these three states are existing. All these three states are existing. But who is aware of that? Krishna is asking the question. Krishna is asking the question, who is aware of that? These three states of existence. These three states have come to us. How? How did they come to us? See, for example, Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas, the three modes of nature exist in us, isn't it? Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas, goodness, passion and ignorance, right? So, Sattvagunam will function in the form of knowledge in a person. Sattvagunam will function in the form of knowledge in a person. Rajogunam will function in the form of action in a person. Rajogunam will function in the form of action in a person. For example, I am now speaking here. So, whatever I am speaking, if that is creating some thoughts through your mind, or it is having some impact on you in some form, that is the sattvam aspect of the action. Sattvam, the sattvagunam is coming through that. Rajogunam is the activity I am doing, speaking through this mic, or making this, or reading from this book, from Srimad Bhagavatam. All these are the Rajogunam side of it. And then, the Tamogunam side of it is what is known as the, Tamogunam side is what is known as the different forms, what I am experiencing while speaking. In other words, different names and forms that I experience in this room now, that is all my Tamogunam side that I am experiencing through. Tamogunam will give importance to these different names and forms. They are not important. As far as the most important thing is the knowledge that is coming from the, or Krishna consciousness that is coming from Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the topmost thing, isn't it? But names and forms, they are not important. For us, the main difficulty is that we are seeing the world, and all the names and all the forms in this world has become important to us. Has become important to us. Krishna is saying, you have to come out of that. That conditioning. Yavan nanartha dipamsa nanivarteda yuktivi jagartabi sovannatnya sotne jagaranam yatha. Krishna says, if you do not leave these different forms and different names and everything, rather than giving importance to that, come to your spiritual level, spiritual realization, spiritual consciousness. If you do not come to that, you will not move anywhere. You will be stuck in that. He says, your situation is like this. So, in order to understand this, we have to go back to this Chit Shakti again. Chit Shakti. What does Chit Shakti mean? Chit Shakti means that Chit is that capacity to know what we are, isn't it? We know that, what are we? How do we know that, what we are? We know it because the soul is inside. Therefore, we are able to perceive so many things, experience many things in this world. So, the capacity to know something, the capacity to know something, knowledge, in other words. This word in the Shastram is called Vijnanam. Vijnanam is that word. That Vijnanam, or the energy of the soul to permeate in everything and to get absorbed in that. For example, you can understand this, that you go out of this room now, stand outside and look to the sky. The whole sky, the whole moon, the stars and the clouds, and the trees, plants, everything what you perceive there, it all exists for you at that time. Isn't it? It all exists for you. How does it exist? Because this Chit Shakti inside has given you that capacity to experience everything. So they are existing because of the Chit Shakti of the soul inside. It is through the power of the Chit Shakti you are experiencing all that what you have seen there. So, this Chit Shakti in a person manifests in three forms. Through these forms of this, through the ability to perceive everything and to realize that these things exist. Isn't it? Secondly, when you experience any of these things, you feel some kind of pleasure or unhappiness inside, depending on what you are experiencing. For example, suddenly there is a lightning there. When the lightning happens, immediately you feel a fear inside, isn't it? It's a fear inside. So that's a kind of experience. That is Chit Shakti again. So Chit Shakti gives you the experience of all that has been existing outside. Chit Shakti also gives you this experience of what it is that you have, that when it goes in, it creates a certain kind of reaction within you. And apart from these two things, it does one more thing. What is that? It also makes you conscious of that. Isn't it? These are all the very subtle things of the soul's activities inside. We may not understand these things perfectly. It is not possible to understand perfectly because of our continued attachment to the body. And these are the process that the jnanis use in understanding the soul. It is a jnanamargam. It's a process of realization through jnanam, through knowledge. So, there you will notice this, that the bodham means this awareness, knowledge of its existence, and experience, anubhavam. All these three things come from Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti creates these things. And as long as Chit Shakti is functioning inside, you can experience all these things. You can experience all these things. Just to give you an example, you see, this once, it is just a story, but see the message through the story more than the story itself. A prince left the palace, went away, renouncing his home. Renouncing in a sense, he went to the forest for hunting with his associates, went to hunt in the forest. After hunting for a long time, somehow he got separated from all his soldiers and the others who come with him, and he was left alone. So he lost his way, went away from home, and he was left in that situation. For days together, he was starving. He had nothing to eat, and he was in a great distress. Although he was the son of a king. A prince he was. So it happened to him that now I become a beggar. What can I do? Yes, he was begging for days and months together. He was begging to maintain his life. Nobody knew him. He reached somewhere else where he had no one who knew that he was a prince or anything. Nobody knew him. So he was in a distressed condition, experiencing that situation. So he carried on living like that for a long time. Suddenly, by chance, one day, the prime minister or someone has managed to locate him. He sent the soldiers and found him out. By now, this young boy, prince, has forgotten his original position as the prince of the royal family. And now he has virtually become a good beggar, in other words. He was begging and living like that. So the prime minister sends his people and finds out that was the prince who left the palace long, long ago, and try to bring him back. By now he has completely forgotten about his kingdom, because many years ago this has happened in his life, at a very early age in life, and for 20, 30 years he has been wandering like this. So they managed to bring him back and told him, look, you are not that beggar, you are the prince. You are the prince of this royal family, and you have got the throne. You are the next successor to the king, and bring him back and install him as the prince. So when that happens, how much that person, as soon as he realized, I was the prince here, immediately his begging nature, everything goes from him. He immediately gets back his original, that authority, as I am the prince, I am the next king, and I have to act in that way. So how that has come back to him. Similarly, in our conditioned state now, we are feeling weak, we are feeling affected by the modes of nature, we are feeling affected by the material maya or maya's activities, and by other living entities, adhyatmikam, adibhaudiyam, adidevyam. All these things are like this prince situation when he was wandering around in the world. The moment we lost all that and got back to our true position as spirit soul, then we know what we are. What is that? Sat, Chit and Anandam. That's all exist at that time. All the other things goes away. All the other things goes away. This is what Krishna is reminding here. Krishna can only remind us, isn't it? Krishna cannot force us, look, or push it through our throat. He has put everything in through these verses, and he has given us the opportunity to go back to him by knowing what he has spoken and by putting effort to understand this. There is an interesting story about a great sage called Namalwar. Alwars are devotees in Tamil Nadu. They appeared in the end of Dwaparayugam. Alwars means one who goes deep down into something, who goes drowning, immersing in something very deeply. They are called Alwars. So these Alwars are personalities, great devotees of Krishna, who appeared in the end of Dwaparayugam and early in Kaliyugam. That means we are talking about 5,000 years approximately. Most of these Alwars have appeared. There were many Alwars who appeared at that time. One of the most popular Alwar who lived at that time was called Namalwar. Namalwar was very famous personality. From the birth itself, he was realized soul. Imagine that. He had nothing to do. He was so realized that he couldn't see anything in this creation except Krishna. He was only seeing Krishna, exactly opposite to us. We only see everything except Krishna, isn't it? And even if by chance we see something, it is only in the deity in the temple room. Some resemblance of Krishna, we say it's there. And that too we have a lot of doubts about it. Even that's not very sure. Whatever it is. Namalwar realized the soul. As soon as he came out, wouldn't speak one word. Bit like Jadabrata's state. Realized, what can you do? Everything, all pervading Krishna everywhere, in all conditions. He was seeing this. Namalwar sat like this for many years. And eventually, when he grew up a little bit, he went out of the house and went and sat underneath the tree. Underneath a tree, he sat there. Won't speak anything to anyone. Fully realized state. For a realized person, what is there to speak? The speaking and all is only when you are not realized. You speak all everything, isn't it? Every nonsense we speak, that's all fully nonsense. But in the realized state, there is nothing much to speak. He was not speaking anything. And if they speak something, it will be something what they have realized. Not the, like the matter what we discuss through volumes and volumes of books we create volumes of literature and put it in all the shelves and sit in front of that knowing, well, I've studied all these books now, I must be very learned. But from Vedic point of view, all that's useless. All this bookish knowledge is all useless. Useless means that if you not realize the self, like Namalwar, he didn't need any text, Vedic Shastram or anything. He doesn't need anything anymore because all what you have to get at the end, he has got it. So what do we need the books for? This was his state of consciousness. So he was sitting there. So once it, then at the same time, what happened was, there was another Alwar by name Mathurakavi. Mathurakavi Alwar. He was living in Delhi at that time and he was desiring to see his spiritual master. Krishna revealed to him, you should go and see your spiritual master. He didn't have a clue where to go and look for. Krishna revealed to him. This is happens to people. Spiritual master is not something who will come out of, it's not a selection process. It is something that comes by Krishna's grace. Krishna brings that person to the personality when he wants and qualified for that, to receive that person's mercy. So Krishna comes as spiritual master, as we all agree on that, that Krishna comes as the spiritual master. Mathurakavi Alwar in the night sees a comet in the sky. And the comet keeps moving and he keeps following this comet. And he will walk following this comet for a whole day, for a whole night, and in the morning the comet will disappear and he will sit there thinking, where should I go? Again the next night, again the comet comes in the sky, he walks. Like this he walked all the way from Delhi to right up to this place where Namalwar was sitting in Tamil Nadu. He walked all the way from there, days and days together. Every evening the comet will appear, Mathurakavi Alwar will follow the comet. In the morning the comet will disappear, Mathurakavi Alwar will sit there. Eventually the comet came and finished at a place. Mathurakavi realized that there is my spiritual master is somewhere here. This is the meeting between Mathurakavi Alwar and Namalwar. It's a very famous meeting what happened. So when Mathurakavi Alwar meets Namalwar, he had one question. He had only one question to ask. And you should see the question what Namalwar asked, Mathurakavi asked Namalwar, and Namalwar's reply to that. When Mathurakavi Alwar came up to Namalwar, asked this question. That this chit, what is inside? The chit, what is inside? Chit is part and parcel of Krishna. It is Krishna that is coming through the chit, basically. Where does the soul get it? The soul gets it from Krishna. Where else is he going to get it from? So the chit is nothing but Krishna's part and parcel, isn't it? What does the chit, when does the chit appear? Chit appear when the living entity came out from Brahman, isn't it? When the living entity came out first time. From the Brahman. So when it comes out, how does it come out and becomes this conditioned soul when the false ego develops? We have seen this before, that jiva or conditioned soul is due to false ego. We have two things in us. One is called ahankaram and the other one is called aham bodham. Ahankaram is false ego and aham bodham is the consciousness I am, spirit soul. That is not false ego. That is a different thing. So these two things exist in us. We are driven by ahankaram, false ego. Isn't it? We are driven by ahankaram, false ego. But when this ahankaram or false ego completely collapses, and we come to our identity as ahambhodham or consciousness, that is chit energy. Now, when we wake up in the morning and we identify with our body, mind and the senses, first thing what happens is, ahambhodham goes away and ahankaram walks in. Ahambhodham is the thing what was witnessing in the deep sleep, the experience of the soul, that is ahambhodham, that consciousness. It switches off to ahankaram, which is the false ego mode, as soon as you wake up in the morning, isn't it? In Jagrat state, what do? We identify with the body, we identify with the senses. This is all a part of this ahankaram, false ego, nothing else. Ahankaram is the one that is creating these things. Ahankaram is exactly the same thing that is creating this Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti also for the living entity. All this has nothing to do with the soul or Chit Shakti. These things are created by ahankaram. We are not aware of that. We are thinking, oh, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, I accept it. But in Jagrat state, I am making all my plans for the life, isn't it? All my plans for the life, when do I make? In Jagrat. Right from President Bush, right up to the lowest man, in the simple person in the world, every one of them, makes their plan in Jagrat, not in dream or Sushupti, not in Swapnam or Sushupti. Swapnam and Sushupti, your hands are tied, you can't make any decision there. Krishna says, you lie down there now, like that. And you experience that. If you are a little bit thoughtful, think through these two also. In 24 hours, how many hours is Jagrat? 8, 10, 11 maybe, hours or 12 hours, sometimes 14 hours perhaps, depending on different people. But even the Jagrat stage is, Swapnam is there going on. So where is Jagrat? That's why Krishna is saying that Jagartyapi Swapan, although he is in Jagrat, he is in dream state. He has not woken up yet, Krishna is saying. He still has not woken up. He is ajnan, he is ignorant as well. That is why only very people who are very much deeply in ignorance can do a lot of things in this world. That's why they are able to do that. Because the ignorance is so deep, identification with the body, their material activities are all nothing but a reflection of his Jagartyapi Swapan Ajna. Ajnatvam means ignorance, and Swapnam means that dreaming, and still Jagrat in the vacant state. So when you combine all these things, these persons get into everything in this world. Krishna didn't give us this body to waste like this time, just to engage in Jagrat and do all nonsense in dream and deep sleep. Krishna, we have no control on that, and we have no interest to know about it either, do we? We are not worried what happens in dream. Whatever happens, it's a dream only, we say. And then when deep sleep comes, we say, oh, I had a good sleep, that's enough for me, I don't want to do anything more than that. So our knowledge and inquisitiveness finishes there at that point. We are not looking any more further from that. Although these two states have a very strong bearing on the soul. On the soul means in understanding the soul. They have a very important role to play. This Swapnam and Sushupti. We are completely ignoring that. Just see that. That's what Krishna is cautioning here. That Jagartapi Subhanajna Swapne Jagaranam Yatha. That realized souls won't discuss about this vacant state anymore. There's nothing important for them. When Namal War met Madhurakavi All War, all that they discussed was about this, the activities of Chit Shakti. How Chit Shakti functions. That's all what he wanted. So the question Chit Shakti he was asking was this. He said, this Chit Shakti, which is manifesting in the form of consciousness, it manifests in the form of consciousness, and which is experiencing everything, when it has come to existence in the form of in the jiva, in the living entity, what will it do? What will that do? That was the question. What should that do? That was the question from Madhurakavi Alwar to Namalwar. What does Namalwar reply? Namalwar says to Madhurakavi, that Chit Shakti has come from Krishna, or Brahman, or whatever we call it, that's Krishna. Krishna's impersonal aspect is Brahman, personality is Krishna, supreme personality is Krishna. So he says there, that that has come from Brahman, and what it will do, it, with that Chit Shakti alone, it will go back to that again. It will go back to that. Because that is its pure state, to be with that. That is where it has come from. It has to go back to that. In whichever relationship it has, that is a different thing. But, in other words, when the Chit Shakti energizes a living entity to find in matter some happiness and some life outside, spiritual life, it means that it is in deep ignorance. It is in deep ignorance. Later on, you will see in another verse, Srishtva Purani Vividhani Ajayalma Shaktiyam Vrikshan Sarin Sripa Pashun Gagadamsha Valsyan Taistaira Dushtakhrdaya Purusham Vidhaya Brahma Avalogadishanam Udamabadevaha. While speaking in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna says to Uddhava, my dear Uddhava, when I asked Brahma to create living entities, he created a multitude of types of varieties of living entities. Variety he created. Srishtva Purani Vividhani Ajayalpa Shaktya Vrishan Sarin Sripa Pashun Khagadam Shamalsyan. All kinds of Vriksham, Pashu, Malsyam, various living entities, aquatics, birds, trees and plants and creepers, and two-legged, four-legged, all kinds of things. Khagadam Shamalsyan. And after that, Brahma was still not happy with the creation. He had still great difficulty what else to do, because he saw none of these were able to practice spiritual life. None of them could think about a way of getting out of that body. From that body, they couldn't find any way of getting out of it. So, taistaira dushtahirdaya, Brahma became very disappointed. Brahma became very disappointed. He felt very unhappy when he created all other living entities. Taistaira dushtahirdaya, then purusham vidhaya, when he received Krishna's mercy, he was able to create the human body. And what was the beauty of this human body? Brahmavaloka Dishanam. In that body, he can understand all these things, what Krishna has spoken. Sat, Chit, Anandam. If you tell a cow or a bull that Sat and Chit and Anandam, will they understand anything? Nothing will go to their head. But human body have this opportunity to realize things, So when he created that human body, Brahma felt some satisfaction. Udamaba Deva, he felt satisfied at that point, because at least I've got one species who has some capacity to understand and practice spiritual life. That was Brahma's consolation at that point. So you can see here that Madhuragavi Alwar came to Nama Alwar, asked this question, and in answer to that he spoke in this way. So he said that if the Chit Shakti, Chit, Sachit Anandam, so if Chit Shakti comes to its proper understanding, what it will do? It will only do one thing. What will it do? It will realize the self. That will be the right thing. Otherwise, Chit Shakti is in a conditioned state. That is what it is saying. Now, Pipalayana Maharshi, when he spoke about this, this is exactly what he was saying. If you remember that verse in verse number 37, chapter 3, he was saying here, Jnana Kriyartha Bhala Rupadayo Ru Shakti. Jnana Kriyartha Bhala Rupadayo Ru Shakti. This Jnanam, Karmam and Kriya. Three things. Jnanam, Karmam, Jnanam, Kriya and Bhalam. Sorry. Jnana Kriyartha Bhala Rupadayo Ru Shakti. The Piparayana Maharshi says there, this Jnanam, Kriya and Artham. Jnana Kriyartha Bhalam. Rupa Yoru Shakti, Uru Shakti. Where are they coming from? They are coming from the Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti is providing this. The Jnanam also Chit Shakti is providing. The ability for Kriya is also Chit Shakti is providing. And Artham also, Artha Bhala Rupa Dayam. That means, Bhala Rupa Dayam means that in the form of happiness and distress. These are all very, very subtle things. Only you have to think about in a little more, that why is it spoken like this? Such a fine way things are spoken. Bhala Rupa Dayoru Shaktiya. Bhala Rupa Dayoru Shaktiya means that as soon as knowledge is there, action will be there. From the action, happiness or distress will come. So this happiness or distress is the function of the Chit Shakti. The function of the Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti makes that happen. In other words, soul is not experiencing anything. Soul is not experiencing anything. Normally what happens is, when we perform something, activity, when the result comes from that, depending on whether it is happiness or distress, we start analyzing it, isn't it? We start analyzing it. What do? First thing we think, was it a good thing, what the result will, they will start analyzing. Just take for example, football match. You've seen football matches all the time going on. One team wins, one team loses. So normally, sometimes. Other way also. So, after the match is over, they will analyze the match, isn't it? They will analyze the match. And they will analyze so critically what went wrong in the match. They done this, they done that. Or the manager or the coach will make some comments, or the team captain will make some comments and all that kind of things. That means, the knowledge was there, jnanam, then they performed the action, kriya, and the bhalam has come from that. Artha bhala rubadaya uri shakti. Uri shakti means it revolved. It evolved from their kriya, from their action. So, when that has happened, they are analyzing the results to see how that affects them. But never once we ask the question, who has done it? Isn't it? Who has done it? That question never arises to us. The results is what is going through our mind all the time. Because the result is that what matters to us at that time. As far as the, I'm just giving an example, this football match. But similarly, every other activity in this world, material activities I'm saying, is all jnana kriyartha bhalarupadayo oru shakti. What Vipalayana Maharshi says there. That is coming through that way. And that sukham and dukham, or happiness and distress, when the result comes, who makes that, makes us feel that, that is that Chit Shakti. That's that Chit Shakti is doing that. If by cultivation of spiritual knowledge and by Krishna consciousness, if you realize that Chit Shakti is behind it, or that it has nothing to do with me, it is the result that I am disturbed by the result or happy about the result. Happiness or distress, whatever it may be, it has nothing to do with the person. It has to do purely with the Chit Shakti makes me experience it like that. If that realization comes, then you can escape from this material life. You can escape from the material life. That's what is the point he was making here. that because this is an important point. If you capture it or if you get it, it is good. If you didn't get it, just leave it. Don't worry about it. Because the thing is that all these things are happening because of the soul inside, isn't it? Because of the soul inside. And we are not giving any importance to it. We are giving importance to so many other things in this world. This is why Bhagavatam is condemning us for this, for doing this. The most important thing is the soul inside, and we are not noticing the function of the soul inside, how it's doing this. And this is what is our ignorance means. Ignorance means this. Jnana kriya. See, Pipalayana Maharshi is speaking the same thing what Krishna is speaking later. They're all pointing out this one thing. Don't come down from that platform of spirit soul. Spirit soul is the most important thing. It is his activities. That is what is permeating through everything. And every prayer in the glorification in the Bhagavatam, if you look at it carefully, you will see that all of them are glorifying the soul, nothing else. They all glorify the soul. Why? Because the soul is doing it, everything. Doing in the sense, it is because of his presence it is happening. It is because of his presence it's happening. So instead of analyzing the result and getting disturbed or happy or distressed over it and thinking that, oh, my life has become like this, what can I do? I have done this and nothing worked. whether it is spiritually or materially, it doesn't matter. When the results don't come, then we get disturbed, isn't it? We get disturbed. Whether devotees speak that Non-devotees also speak the same thing. A businessman will say, I spent all my life, energy, money, invested in thing, nothing happened at the end. I didn't make it, they'll say. I didn't make it. For him, making it means making millions into billions. That's making for him. For the businessman, in that way. Or for somebody who is in a professional field, he wants to go up in his ladder, and all, you know, these things don't have to be disputed. That's what we discuss all the time. So I think there's much to be spoken about it. But similarly, even coming to spiritual life also, if we have the same mentality like that, oh, I put so many rounds I chanted, so many years I followed this for regulative principles, or so many times I did the parikrama, or so many days I paid my obeisances, but I am still the same miserable person as I am. If this comes, they have not understood anything about spiritual life, because there is no knowledge in them. They have simply surrendered to some rituals, and they have simply surrendered to some imaginary, their own created understanding of spiritual life, imaginary things, and they did not get satisfaction from there. How will it come? Because here, Pipalayana Maharshi and Krishna is saying to us, try to understand this point, important point. Jnana Kriyartha Bhalarubadayor Shakti. That Shakti, that strength, where is it coming from? Find out that source. That's what he is saying. Find out that source, where it's coming from. Inquire after him, that source where it has come from. That is spiritual life. Inquiring that source, that is spiritual life. Not all the other things, what we are drumming, beating up the drums and declaring to the world, we are this, we are that. That is all useless at the end of the day. At the end of the day, this is what Bhagavatam is talking to us, to go inwards and find out that source where this is all coming from. And that is self-realization. Krishna consciousness means finding out that connection with Krishna. And that can only come in this way. There is no other shortcut to that. There is no other way you will get there. You may do so many things, build a big institutions, big programs. So many things can go on. At the end of the day, there will be no result. It will be zero. But Srimad Bhagavatam is pointing out this one very important thing. Jnana Kriyartha Bhalarubadayo Uru Shakti. That Shakti, the strength for all these things. Jnanam, Kriya, Artham and Bhalam. The results that follow from all that. Uru Shakti, from where it has come from, find out that source, he says. Find out that source. That is inquiry. That is the inquiring after the truth. That is what is called spiritual inquiry. Otherwise, it will simply remain on a different level. It's a completely disappointing to people. So, here, anyway, having come to that, I must mention before that those who have realized, if you study their glorifications of Krishna, you will notice this. Prahlada spoke this very beautifully. He spoke in his verses in the Bhagavatam. Prahlada called all his young friends. Prahlada was 5 or 6 years old, and Prahlada is speaking this. Can you imagine that? We, at the age of 85 also, it's not getting into our head. Prahlada, at the age of 5, he was able to speak this knowledge. So Prahlada says there, Prahlada's verse, I'll read it out. It's a beautiful verse, he says. Na achyuta prinayato, Prahlada is saying, na achyuta prinayato bahuayaso asuralmajam. Prahlada is saying to his brother, friends, the classmates who are there with him, na achyuta prinayato, to please Krishna is not very difficult, he says. To please Krishna is not very difficult. You see, we are thinking, it is such a difficult thing, spiritual life, isn't it? So, one day one person saying all the time, he was sitting in front of a very advanced spiritually advanced person. And he, as usual, will come with the same moaning and groaning story about spiritual life. And he'll come and say every time that, I heard all these things, but how can I do it? How can I change this? How can I do this? So, and he will put forward all his problems in life and says, what shall I do now? Such a person, it will be very difficult, because for him, it will take 3 lifetimes to get out of this mentality first. That to think that everything is difficult, he has to get out of that first. That will take 3 lifetimes before he can start thinking about spiritual life. Because spiritual life is not so complicated, Prahlada is saying here. Nahachuda Prinayado Bahuayaso Asuralmaja. Asuralmaja, oh Asura's children, demoniac friends, my demoniac friends. That's how he is addressing them. My demoniac friends, it is not difficult to please Krishna. He says, why? Why? The next line answers that. Almatval sarvabhudanam siddhatval iha sarvadam. Because he is present in everybody. Who? Krishna. So where is the difficulty, he says, in realizing that? Prahlada's question is this. Almatval sarvabhudanam sarvatra. Everywhere he is present. Sarvabhudanam siddhatval iha sarvada. And if you want to find him, you can find him in everyone. It is not difficult. Prahlada is saying to the children. Prahlada is saying to the children. Almatvad sarvabhudanam siddhatvad iha sarvada. In that one line, Prahlada summarized the whole spiritual life. Almatvad sarvabhudanam siddhatvad iha sarvada. The only thing we have to remove this negativity in our thought. Oh, it is not possible to know. How do we know soul exists? Again, applying mind and intelligence, trying to find out. You have to only accept Krishna's words. Krishna is saying there, don't bring your mind and intelligence to understand the soul. Soul is part and parcel of Krishna. It is Krishna's another manifestation inside, and he is existing there. Krishna says, I am present there. I am present in you, in every living entity. Only thing is, we have such a negative mood in us that when Prahlada said to his friends, he had no difficulty in accepting that. Almatvad sarvabhudanam siddhatval iha sarvada. That almatvad sarvabhudanam, he is present as Atma, as the soul in living entities. Where is the problem? Prahlada is asking. Siddhatval iha sarvadam. Siddhatval iha sarvada. And if you want to find him, you can find him anywhere if you want to find him. Not only in other living entities. And that is why Prahlada pulled out Narasimha Murthy from the wall. He could pull him out from there. Why? He is present there also. So a devotee who has that realization, he will not be able to accept this modern education and accept it thinking that this is the culmination of knowledge. Culmination of knowledge is this, that when you see the presence of Krishna in everything, in spirit, in matter, even from the wall, he was able to pull out Krishna outside. Who else could do it except Prahlada? Who else could do that? A 5-year-old boy was able to do that. So, and he is saying there, Almatval sarvabhudanam. You don't have to even look into the wall, he says. He is present in every one of us. Sarvabhudanam. He is present everywhere. Siddhatval iha sarvada. And you can get him easily if you want to get him. It is not difficult, he says. Only thing, you have to realize that he is present there. He is stressing that point very strongly. Prahlad is stressing that point very strongly. Prahlad is saying, if you do not cultivate or grow this consciousness in that way, you will not see him anywhere. Then you will completely miss the boat. You won't get it. You won't get there. He says, this is what realization means. Seeing Krishna in other living entity. Almatval sarvabhudanam siddhatval iha sarvada. That's what he was saying. So, coming back to these verses, we are discussing this. So, in all these verses, what Prahlada was talking about was this. That we have to give up this understanding that it is difficult. It is difficult. It is not difficult. As long as we are doing, as long as our mind and intelligence we are using to understand Krishna, as long as we are performing action in this world in such a way, hoping that result will come in that mood, it will never happen. It will never happen. When will it happen? It will happen when you take what Krishna's words seriously, very, very seriously, and start thinking in that direction. And that point you will understand that Krishna has a point here. Krishna is saying to us that if you do not accept this, my presence in every living entity first, there is no question of searching for me elsewhere. Searching for me elsewhere. Almatvad sarvabhudanam. That was Prahlada's words there in the 7th canto. You can note this, mark these words. Almatvad sarvabhudanam siddhatvaliha sarvada. And he is there everywhere. And I am refusing to accept that in my mind is constantly telling me that, oh, that doesn't sounds right to me, because I'm educated, I want my PhD degree and all that, so it doesn't look right to me. So convince me, like they say. Convince me first. What can you convince? Because through this mind and intelligence, through these two sources, if you start searching for the truth, you will never get it, because it's beyond that. This is the point what one has to remember. So, sometimes devotees also feel the same thing, isn't it? One devotee once asked Krishna the same question. He says to Krishna, Krishna, you, I have been coming to you so many years now. I've been coming and chanting your holy name. I've surrendered as best as I can, taken your shelter, and this, that, and the other. You know how the devotee moans all the time to Krishna. The devotees have only one business, moaning all the time. They are very experts at that. And sometimes when they start moaning, you can't stand that, because it goes to such a high degree. They'll say to Krishna, I am the most sinful person, I'm the most fallen, this, that, and the other. They'll say that to Krishna. Once he comes out of the room, suppose you have heard him saying that to Krishna, you ask, tell him, oh, you're the most sinful, wretched soul in this world. He will straight away smack you, would he not? To Krishna, he will say all these things. But if you tell him that, look, I heard you saying this to Krishna a minute ago, but now when I ask you, why you are protesting? Why are you protesting? Then you should see his form. The real universal form will come out at that point. Then he is not fallen. He is the most elevated soul at that time. Is he not? Is that not your experience? My experience has been always like that. That to Krishna he will say, I am so fallen, Prabhu. I am Krishna, I am so fallen. I have given everything to you. And you are completely ignored me, and you have not done anything for me. I this, I'm that. They'll say everything to Krishna. And I've heard this. You come out of the room and you ask him that, I just heard you. You are saying you are a very sinful person, aren't you? You say this to him. Then you will see his true form, how sinful or not. His declaration will be, I'm the most pure devotee in this world. That's how he will present himself. So this, we are seeing this every day in this world. There's nothing new in these things. So anyway, coming back to the point, that if a person is speaking like this, Krishna is saying, Atmatva sarvabhudanam, that is forgotten. That is why he is saying all these things. So we shouldn't say such things. There is no need to artificially to project an image like that to anyone. It is not a sign of humility. It is not a sign of advancement. Nothing. You don't have to worry about spiritual advancement. Spiritual advancement is what Krishna decides. What you should have, what you shouldn't have. It is not by your effort that you are advancing spiritually. That ignorance has to go from the head first. So, secondly, this devotee said to Krishna that, I have been coming to you so many years, so many months, and did everything to please you, but you are not caring for me this night. Krishna says to him, don't worry, I'll be with you all the time. He said, I'll be with you all the time. So, devotee says to Krishna, how do I know that you are with me? Krishna says, every time you walk, you look back, you will see another 2 feet behind you. And that's me following you, he said. Devotee said, fine, then I am satisfied. If you are with me all the time, I have nothing to worry, he said. That was his satisfaction. So they went like that for quite some time, gone like that. Every time he looked back, there was 2 feet at the back. One day, this great devotee got into trouble somewhere. He did something and got into problems. So he looked for Krishna's help. He prayed to Krishna, and there no help was coming. So he turned back and looked, and there was, these 2 feet were not there. The 2 feet were not there at the back. So he goes to Krishna and start telling him, you are also like anybody else in this world. He says, when you need the help, you won't get it from them. And you are not much different than that. The devotee says to Krishna. So Krishna says to the devotee, this is the problem with you, he said, that did you look at those 2 feet when you were walking? Very carefully, did you look at that? He said. Devotee said, no, I didn't look at it. Have a look at it, he said. He looked at the feet. There he could see the marks of Krishna's lotus feet there. And there was no sign of his own feet. So Krishna says to him that, actually you did not see me. I was with you even then. I was just saying, to what extent are you prepared to face this nonsense in this world? But on the other hand, you were only interested to see that you are not even know what you were. This is the problem Krishna was saying to him. Because why Krishna was said like that to him was that this happiness and distress, what we are experiencing in this world, what we are experiencing in this world, it has nothing to do with the person. Due to the influence of Maya and the energy of the modes of nature, it appears to us that we are experiencing all these things. This will not click into your head. Everybody will not, no one will agree with this if you say this to him. That you say to them that it has nothing to do with you. What will happen? They will immediately say, how can that be? I only know how much I have suffered. That will be the answer first thing. You can say all these things, that Vedanta and all you can keep to yourself. Why, it's nothing to do with me. I only know how much I have suffered. This will be the answer, isn't it? Krishna is pointing out one important point here. If you don't shift this understanding that about this body and the bodily comforts, I mentioned this before, prarabdham will not leave you. It will drag you through this life, and that is this body is all about, prarabdham. And prarabdham will bring happiness, prarabdham will bring distress also. Distress also. If you give importance to those two and start analyzing your spiritual life based on those two things, happiness and distress, which is coming from prarabdham, you are lost in spiritual life. Spiritual life should not be linked to any of those things. They are totally independent of that. This is the point Krishna is making. Krishna is making that point very strongly here. That that those two feet, what you have seen there is mine. In other words, the happiness or distress, what is coming to us, Strictly speaking, the part and parcel of Krishna is playing these games inside. He is playing these games. But under the influence of Maya and the modes of nature, we identify with that and suffer from that. Sukham and Dukham, happiness and distress, has nothing to do with the soul. It has nothing to do with the soul. And we, being also Krishna's part and parcel, cannot have it, because we are part and parcel of Krishna. Where is the question of suffering? Have you any time seen Krishna crying or suffering or enjoying like us in this world? Okay, in past times he has performed certain times, but Krishna's, if we want to see Krishna's personality coming through all these things, you have to study some of the most amazing pastimes like the Rasa dance, if we want to see Krishna's personality. That is why Rasa dance is put there. Not to know the Rasa dance, how Rasa dance shows Krishna's personality above all other human weaknesses, human emotions, human feelings. Nothing disturbs Krishna. Nothing disturbs Krishna. Whole Mahabharata war, 6.4 million people got killed. Krishna was not disturbed. And at the Rajasuyam sacrifice, when Shishubala threw abuse to Krishna, Krishna was not disturbed. Have you any time seen Krishna disturbed in his mind? Why is that? Because that's the realized state always. So living entity also, Krishna says, can come to that state through spiritual realization when he realizes his identity. That is why self-realization, God-realization, all are actually means one or the same thing. That realization has to come. Our true identity, self-realization, that has solved that problem. That then he does not get disturbed anymore by any of those things. So that's why here Krishna was saying this point to in the case of Uddhava also, that happiness and distress, you should not identify with them. And once you have learnt that, how to identify, and think about it, who is behind it, who is enjoying, who is suffering? This question you have to ask. When you ask that question, you also have to think the soul has nothing to do with it. It is only the mind that has created this inside. It's only the mind that has created. And if you allow to be driven by the mind, then you have to experience the happiness and distress. These are the things what Krishna is pointing out in Ekadasham. Important things. That if you allow the mind to do that. So therefore, Krishna is saying here, that every time something is happening to you, immediately think like this. Krishna says, who is behind it? Who is suffering? Who is enjoying? And then you know that the soul has nothing to do with it. Then you know the mind is the culprit behind it. Mind is culprit behind it. For example, he says that, just for example, when you're hungry, you want some food to eat, immediately ask the question, who wants to eat? Who wants to eat? Or when you eat the food, who is enjoying the food? Who is enjoying the food? Or in other words, who is getting satisfied? This is why food is given a very important position in spiritual life. Why? Because food is a great source of realization, self-realization. Through food, one can understand many things. If you remember those verses in Bhagavad Gita, what does Bhagavad Gita say? Bhagavad Gita says like this, Aham Vaishwanaro Bhutva Praninam Dehamashrita. I am sitting inside as Vaishwanara and enjoy the food, Krishna says. I am Praninam Dehamashrita. I take that food and I give the energy for the living entity to function. I give the energy for the living entity to function. So in other words, when the food goes inside, we are not too bothered how it gets digested. We will bring our own theory, isn't it? That, oh, all these glands will supply different, what do they call the, whatever that is, I don't know the names of all that. So many things, from so many sources, it comes. And then they will explain everything, all that. But they cannot see the person who is doing it behind. They are completely ignorant of that. They think that this system has to function automatically. This is where Vedic philosophy is pointing out to us this one point. That aham vaishvanaro bhuto praninam deham ashrita. That how the energy for the living entity comes from the food. Who makes that into the energy form? We will give our vitamins and all other, what do they call, the enzymes, and that is all on a superficial level, that explanations. Even before they found out this was happening, isn't it? Even before the medicine found out, people were eating food and it was getting digested. So they didn't have to know really how to, so in other words, this was not set up by us, this system. The system of the body, how it was set up, Krishna set it up. That it should, because he is there inside, who is doing it. It is him who is doing it. And that we ignore, that aspect we ignore. And that is why it is said that praninam deham ashridaha, that the knowledge, if it doesn't go in this direction, if we don't develop the understanding in this way, Krishna says, you will have a problem in understanding me. In understanding me, Krishna says. Similarly, when the sleep comes, as soon as you fall asleep helplessly, you collapse, isn't it? And even if you want to stay awake for a few minutes or few hours, probably you can do it with the strength of a strong coffee or some tablets or whatever. You can do that. But eventually you have to surrender. You have no freedom. You have to surrender to sleep, isn't it? So who is doing that inside? Who is doing that behind it? Who is behind it? That's the question we have to ask. And every time you ask this question, you will see that the soul is behind it. The soul is behind it. It is because he decided that it's the time now you have to sleep. You sleep. It's the time now you have to dream. You dream. It's the time now you have to wake up. You wake up. This is how controlled we are and his presence. And the person who is doing all these things, we are not bothered about him. We take it for granted that everything is done automatically. And we are busy with so many other millions of things. And this is what Krishna is strongly criticizing here, this this thing. So when happiness comes or distress comes, distress is nothing but a surgery. It's a surgery so that most of the prarabdham gets destroyed in that way. Otherwise, if you find a solution for dukkham or distress also, often it will not be there. Or even if a solution is found, you're not going to escape from the power of prarabdham, You see, if you read Mahabharatam, you will see some profound statements and unusual realizations from Mahabharatam. Well, with that story, I will stop. It is not a story, actually. It is the discussion between Bhishma Pitamaha and Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj, as you know, on 58th day, Bhishma left this world. Bhishma left this world after the Mahabharata war. So prior to that, Yudhishthira Maharaj goes there to see Bhishma. In Mahabharatam, Krishna takes Yudhishthira there. As you know that, Krishna takes Yudhishthira there. And there is a long, long conversations running into hundreds and hundreds of pages in Mahabharatam between these discussions between Yudhishthira and Bhishma. Between Yudhishthira and Bhishma. So, Bhishma, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked all sorts of questions to Bhishma. And Bhishma has answered every one of them and asked Yudhishthira, do you want to know anything more before I leave? Actually, Krishna wanted Bhishma to speak this to Yudhishthira because Yudhishthira did not want to hear from Krishna. You know that. In the first canto, we talked about it. That situation, what happened? Do you remember that? That how Yudhishthira Maharaj fell into illusion after one day after the war and started blaming Krishna for everything. He said, it's all this war has happened because of Krishna. He also said to Krishna that I sent you there to negotiate a deal with the Kauravas and you very articulately you did this. Deliberately you created this war. And now look at me. I am suffering from this. So many millions and millions of people got slaughtered and I had to be responsible for this. And I have to go through hell, don't I? He was saying this to Krishna. And it is in the first canto, you can read that in the first canto. Vedavyasa Maharshi has used some very strong words there to talk about these things, seeing Yudhishthira Maharaj's predicament. So Yudhishthira Maharaj said that to Krishna. So Krishna decided, all right, you are not able to understand what I am saying. Plus, he wanted to give his mercy to Bhishma also. So he takes Yudhishthira there to the battlefield and there he says, saying to Yudhishthira, now if Bhishma answers the question and tells you that whatever you have done is not wrong, will you be satisfied? He said. This was prior to leaving the Hastinapur. So Yudhishthira Maharaj says to Krishna that you are the same person who have got Bhishma also got killed like that, didn't you? He said he abused Krishna straight away. Krishna says, okay, Bhishma fell down in the war, but he's not dead yet, he's still lying there. Only then Yudhishthira realized that Bhishma was lying on this Sharashaya, on this bed of arrows. He was lying there. Okay, let's go there now, he says. Let's ask Bhishma about this. So all of them together, the great, great sages, Dhaumya, Asita, Devara, Vyasa, they were all together as a group, they go to see Bhishma. When they went there, Yudhishthira Maharaj was standing there and Bhishma called him close by and told him that that you don't worry, whatever you have done, nothing is wrong in that. Prior to that, Vedavyasa Maharshi says, Vyasadyai Ishware Rajyai Krishnair Albhudakarmana Albhudakarmam. That's only one person can do in this world, that's Krishna. Krishnair Albhudakarmana. What is that Albhudakarmam he has done? The same medicine. When Arjuna fell into crisis, he spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. And Arjuna said, I am going to fight now. I'll finish up all this. Got up and took the bow and arrow and fought. Yudhishthira also fell into the same illusion like Arjuna. And the same Bhagavad Gita Krishna spoke to Yudhishthira. And Yudhishthira fell asleep. This is what happened at that time. So here, what we have to understand is, Vedavyasa Maharshi says, Vyasadyai Ishware Rajyai Krishnair Albhudakarmana. Albhudakarmam is Krishna. Why? Krishna decided, instead of me, let Bhishma tell him. It will be alright for him. He decided and brings all of them there. So, that time, Krishna says to Bhishma Pitamaha, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked a question. Kim Jaban Muchade Jandur Janma Samsara Bandhanat. What should one do? A Jandu means a living entity. What should he chant so that he can free himself from this cycle of birth and death? This question was asked by Kim javan muchade jandur janma samsara bandhanad. This bandhanam or this bondage, what he has created, how can he free himself from that? What should he chant for that? This was the question which was asked by Yudhishthira Maharaj to Bhishma. Bhishma answered a big many things, and eventually he says to Yudhishthira, all these dharmam I have spoken to you. What all dharmam? Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra dharmam. Brahmajari, Grastha, Vanaprastha, Sanyasa dharmam. Stri dharmam, Purusha dharmam, Raja dharmam. Endless dharmam was spoken in the Mahabharatam by Bhishma. Now at the end he says to Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira, understand one thing, that there was once a person, he had a lot of big plans in him. He was a businessman. He wanted to make a lot of money. So what did he do? He had a bullock cart. And in that bullock cart, he loaded it with a lot of grains and flour, everything. Wanted to take it to the market and sell it and make money there. So this bullock cart was going to the market. And this man, businessman, he was driving the bullock cart with all this flour and grains in the bullock cart. On the way, there was a camel lying there. There was a big camel lying there. By mistake, the bulls went and hit the camel. When they hit the camel, the yoke which is on the top of the bull's the neck, that got caught in the on that hump of the camel, on the hump of the camel, and the camel got up. When the camel got up, both the bulls started hanging in the air with the camel, because camel is a very powerful animal. Got up, and all the grains and everything which was in the cart fell down and spread everywhere. His business was finished there. Yudhishthira, life is like that, he said. Commentators on Mahabharatam says, this whole thing was coming from Bhishma, because Bhishma has done exactly the same thing. Bhishma was a very powerful personality in Mahabharatam. If you see, what did he do? In the youth, with his strong willpower, he controlled, for the sake of Father Shantanu, he decided not to get married. Bhishma Pratitya, they are called. That strength of mind. He said, I'm not going to marry it. If Shantanu wants to marry Satyavadi Devi, let them marry. I have no problem with that. Because Satyavadi's father objected to Satyavadi's children. If Shantanu marries, they should get the kingdom, next kingdom. And that, if Bhishma is living, it's not possible. So, therefore they said that if Bhishma gets married, those children will be entitled for the throne. You know the story of Mahabharatam. So Bhishma fought against that very strongly. He decided, I'm not going to get married, I will stay as a brahmachari whole life. That is Bhishma Pratijna, it is called. After that, what did he do? To keep this whole kingdom together, he went and caught all of these three girls, Amba, Ambiga and Ambalika. Three of them, he brought them to Hastinapur. One of them ran away from there. Amba ran away, escaped from there, saying that she is not interested in this marriage. She was attached to somebody, so Bhishma let her go. Ambiga and Ambalika stayed back. That is all due to his power. He was doing all these things. And then what he said, that also didn't work, because Amba went there and performed a lot of penances and got this mercy of Shikhandi, to take birth of Shikhandi to kill Bhishma for what he has done. That's there. Then through Chitrangada and Vichitravirya, the two princes, Bhishma wanted to run the kingdom. That also didn't work. That also didn't work. You know, in Mahabharata, that story, that also failed. Like this. And then what happened after that? He started using Duryodhana to run the kingdom. He wanted to keep it going through Duryodhana. Even that also failed. Bhishma says to him that every time I was doing something, the camel gets up. The camel gets up. First I tried to do this. Through my brahmachari power I was trying to control. Camel woke up, got up. Then I tried to do the same thing through Amba, Ambiya and Ambalika. I was showing my might by strength. And I wanted to control everything. Everything keep under my control. That's what he was trying to do. He was trying to do that. The camel woke up, got up. And then Chitrangada and Vichitravirya, again, the same thing happened. Again camel got up. And finally, in the Mahabharata war, Bhishma was first saying to Duryodhana, I had to eat your food and work for you. Camel got up. Again, Krishna came and decided, no, you're not going to win the war. We win the war. Pandavas will win the war. So at that point, Yudhishthira Maharaj was told by Bhishma, Bhishma says to Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira, in this life there is only one thing you can do, and that is to surrender to Krishna. Nothing else. Everything else is waste of time, and you are going to be the loser. If you do that, your life is successful. And that is where Bhishma stops their instructions. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.